Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Last we discussed that what is the logical example of kayfiyat ihsani, that when a person he performs salah, then the hadith says that an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, that you make the ibadat of Allah ta'ala as though you're able to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if a person he can't read, make the ibadat of Allah ta'ala at this level, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if you cannot see Allah Ta'ala, then at least have this in mind that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. And we explained this, that this is like an employer. That as long as the employer is present, the boss is present, then all those that are there, you'll see them working. But when the boss is not there, then everyone's on holiday also. So similarly, when a person is performing salah, and now he is conscious, may Allah is watching me, Allah Ta'ala's gaze is on me, Allah's focus is on me, then a person will perform that salah properly as well. Abu Hazar explains this also. He says that like a person, many a times he finds it difficult to control his gazes. So he says that just be conscious of this, that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. He says like you go to a supermarket. So when you go to the supermarket, now a person, he steals. So quietly he steals something, he puts it into his pocket. Now he doesn't know, or he didn't see that there are cameras that are hidden all over. So what happens when he comes out of that supermarket, then they call him one side. And then they say that, sir, you have stolen something. So initially a person is going to deny, say, no, I want to steal. I wouldn't steal. I never steal anything. So now when he denies it, what they do? They say, come, they put on the recording. And they say, now watch the recording. So now where can a person deny? The whole recording is there. So like that, Allah Ta'ala is watching every moment of our life. One person, he was driving in the UK, and he went through the green light. Green traffic light, he went through it. When he went through the green light, the camera flashed him. He said, no, something wrong. Something is wrong over here. So he came back. He came back again, and he went again through the green light. Again he went through the green light, camera flashed him again. He said, no, definitely. So he now, this time he got few people, he needed witnesses. So he brought few people, he put them in the car. And then he came and he went back through the green light. And again the camera flashed. So he said, no, he's going to take it to court now. So when the ticket came, the ticket didn't come because he went through green light. That camera picked up that he didn't have seatbelt. So like that, Allah Ta'ala's camera. Today in China they're talking of putting cameras. What type of cameras? That if a person is walking, they'll be able to tell you which point you are now, and within how many minutes you'll be at a certain point, and within how many minutes you'll be at a certain point. Everything is recorded. But this is only now they've come with all this. Malaika are recording everything. Allah Ta'ala's record is 100% up to date. And everything is written in the Lawh Mahfuz. From the first person that was to be born, well, that was born, to the last person that is to live on the surface of the earth. So when we are conscious that Allah Ta'ala is watching me, Allah Ta'ala's nazar is on me, which is quoted the other day, inki nazar, meri nazar par paasbar rahi. Afsos, mein is khabar se be khabar tha. That Allah Ta'ala's gaze was on my gaze. Allah was watching every movement of that eye of mine. That's how sad that I was unaware of this. So when a person knows Allah is watching me, that salah will be different. That ruku will be different. That standing posture will be different. That sajda of a person will be different. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in a hadith at home. He used to be with his wife, the Azwaja Mutaharat, etc. in the home. And many a time he would also engage in light-hearted conversation. And when the Azan would be called, it was that his whole mood will change. Now he's a different person. Not the same person. Not the same person that was with us. Now he's gone towards the masjid. So this is how a person should be in his salah also. That now Allah Ta'ala is watching me, and this is how I must perform salah. Further he says, اور غفلت والی نماز کے لئے تو قرآن و حدیث میں سخت وعید آئی ہے. To read a salah of negligence, for this, that there are severe warnings that have come in the Quran and hadith. That a person just comes to the masjid, he reads his salah however he wants to read, and then he's just gone from the masjid. That it's my duty, I've just fulfilled that duty, I'm absolved of my responsibility. So here there is warning for that salah. Leave getting sawab for that salah, now there's warning. Quran Pak mein irshad hai, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says that certainly the believers are successful. Which believers? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That those believers that are humble in their salah, that are humble, بیشہ کامیابی اور فلاح کو پہنچ گئے وہ مؤمن جو اپنی نماز میں خشوع کرنے والے ہیں. Those that are humble in their salah. One meaning the ulama have mentioned of khashi'un, They say khashi'un refers to khaifun, that those that fear, they standing before Allah Ta'ala. When a person is standing in court, and for example, there's a speeding fine, now he has been brought into court. So now in before the judge, how that person fears. When he fears, you don't see him now, he's playing with his jacket, he's now playing with his beard, you don't see him. Now a person is quiet, that it mustn't be that they sentence me, it mustn't be that they imprison me. He's fearing at that stage. So when a person is before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how conscious shouldn't a person be? How shouldn't a person stand there? When a person, like Hazrat said, he comes for salah. So all the way he walked from his home or he drove, nowhere, no itch on the body. He made wudu, no itch on the body. The moment he said, Allah Akbar, finish. Now the head is itching, now the body is itching, everything is itching. And I mentioned this previously also, at that time we say, don't worry, after namaz, I'll itch as much as you want. And I'll scratch wherever you want me to scratch. But now I'm in conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Our Hazrat also explains, he says that our wudu also, when we make our wudu is not according to sunnah. We're not doing it the manner we're supposed to be making wudu. He says that when we gargle, normally, not in Ramadan, normally the water is supposed to be brought right up to the throat, harghara. You're supposed to make harghara. And he says many a time people complain of inflammation of the throat, that now throat is paining. So doctors give you a TCP or something of that sort, or many a time they say salt water. So he says, use that the water that you use, a person now gargles properly, according to sunnah, according to sunnah, according to sunnah. There's great benefit in this. A person won't have this inflammation of the throat. He'll be protected from that. But this is not in Ramadan. In Ramadan, you just take it in slightly and out. If a person takes it into the throat, and if one drop has to go into the throat, whilst roza, your roza is invalid. Person have to make qaza. Obviously, it won't be kafara over here, but qaza will have to be made of that fast. Similarly, when you take water into the nose, you hardly take it in. Normally, under normal circumstances, not in Ramadan, it must be taken up to the end of the soft part of the nose. Up to that point, you take the water. In Ramadan, you don't even go that much, because it mustn't happen that water goes away inside. So, that is how a person is supposed to clean the nose. And in every law of Shariat, we find that there is great wisdom behind it, whether we understand or we don't understand. For example, to make masah of the neck, this is a mustahab of wudu. It is mustahab. Maximum you can say it can go up to the status of a sunnah, but it is a mustahab of wudu. Now, in this, today sciences have discovered, today after 1400 years, sciences have discovered that there is a vein at the rear. And when it's extremely hot, now a person, he makes masah of the neck. 5 times a day he's performing salah, he's making masah. This cools the entire body of a person. So see, there is wisdom in that. Wearing the pants above the ankle, this is the correct way. In hadith it comes that to wear the pants, what is below the ankle, ma asfala min al ka'bain fahuwa fi an-nar, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, what is below the ankle, that will be in the fire of Jahannam. Sometimes a person might feel shy, he doesn't want to show his ankles. So no problem. You wear the pants above the ankle and wear socks now. Anything that you wear, that where a person, it is now going downwards. Where it is going down, it must stop at the ankle, it can't go below the ankle. And anything you're bringing up, like the socks that you're bringing up, there you cover the ankle, there's no problem with it. So now sciences have discovered. Our Shariat has taught us wear your pants above the ankle. But now sciences have discovered that when the ankle is left exposed, then the rays of the sun, it shines on the feet. When it shines on the ankle, then at that time this generates energy in the body of a person. So see, every ruling of Shariat or every act of Shariat, there is great wisdom in it, whether we understand or we don't understand it. How many people in the world, they suffer from depression? And sometimes for petty things, like one alim he has written in his kitab, he's written about Pakistan, the condition of Pakistan. And he says that once one lady had contacted him, and she said no, she wants a meeting with him. So he said, okay, come a certain time, whatever, they arranged a meeting. And then she came. So he says she started crying. She started crying and talking. So he says, what's the problem? Explain to me what's the problem. So she says that the problem is this, that my husband, I don't know whether he owns, I can't remember now, whether he owns the factory or whether he is the top manager, the CEO of that company, whatever it might be, but he was one of the top directors or earning a very, very good salary. So the company had given him a house, and at home he had a cook that was cooking in the kitchen also. So he's got a freehold house, a cook that is working, so the wife doesn't have to cook. Then he's got a car with a driver. So the driver takes him wherever he wants to go, she wants to go. Driver, although it's a different masla, we're not going into the masla part of it, whether it's permissible to be alone, even for a woman to be alone with a taxi driver in the car. Whether is it permissible or is it not permissible? Find out the masla, whether it's permissible. This is, I'm just explaining the scenario over here. So nevertheless, so she, there's a driver, so the driver could take her wherever she wants. All her groceries, everything he would pay, light, water, everything he would pay. And for her personal expense, he would give her 25,000 rupees. 25,000 rupees, for there was a lot of money when this alim must have written this also. So he says, this is what her gripe was about. This is what she was crying about. That 25,000 rupees is not enough for me. Now what she was using 25,000 rupees for? Cosmetics. Cosmetics, she was using 25,000 rupees. So now she cried before this alim. So this alim says, see, if your husband has to increase your expenditure, and if he gives you 50,000 rupees, you're still going to be short. Because the life that you're living is a life of disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. So all the barakah from your wealth is gone. So she asked him, she was sincere also. So she said that, how must I change? Because she was living this life of depression. And this is the point that I was explaining. Many, many people in the world are living this life of depression. So then he explained to her, he said that, now change your life, live this type of a life according to Sunnah, give up all these things. She started. A month or two later she wrote to him, she says, all my needs are now fulfilled, I think in, I don't know, 10,000 rupees, and that 15,000 I now give in sadaqah. So many people are in this depression. So many people, they go onto tablets, they go onto this, they cannot find the solution. Now scientists or doctors, psychologists in Germany, what do they prescribe for people that suffer from depression? They say, read Allah. Take the name of Allah so many times, 100 times or 300 times. This is the cure for depression. The Quran told us 1400 years ago, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You want ease, you want comfort, Allah Ta'ala zikr, Allah Ta'ala will give you that comfort. In the roza that we keep, these are just few things I'm just taking. The roza that we keep, we are fasting, this is the command of Allah. And we should make niyat also, Ya Allah, it's your command, that is why I'm fasting. So we're fasting because of the command of Allah Ta'ala. But in that fast that a person is keeping, the entire body of a person goes through a detox. One alim was in New York airport, so he met one Banya, Hindu. So the Hindu asked the alim, he says, when do you all fast? So he asked, the alim asked the Hindu, he says, what have you got to do with our fasting? Why are you asking when we fast? So he says, no, I also fast 30 days every month. He says, but you Hindu, why you fast 30 days every month? So he says, no, I done research. A person that fasts for 30 days in a month, Allah Ta'ala keeps him well for the rest of the year. So see, in the fasting that we have, in there also, Allah Ta'ala has kept great benefit in it. Obviously, I wasn't explained many a time. He says, but on condition that at the time of iftar, don't eat those fatty foods. Allah Ta'ala has sunnah is to eat that khajur. And best is fruit. And the king of all fruit is dates. And the king of dates is the ajwa khajur. So eat the khajur and drink water. That is the sunnah. And that is when a person will gain maximum benefit. So the solution to all our problems, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept in deen. Hazrat Malik bin Ajja'i radiallahu ta'ala, his son got kidnapped one occasion. So the mother was crying, very, very worried that the son got kidnapped. And now she came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The husband came to Nabiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my son has been kidnapped. And the mother is crying. She's depressed. What must we do? Nabi alayhi salam said, simple. Just tell her, read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You'll carry on. Just continue reading this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is a topic on its own. The benefits of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Some ulama have written that any need a person has, any need, read 100 times Durood Sharif. Even if a person reads sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times. 100 times Durood, 500 times La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. 500. And then again 100 times Durood Sharif. And whatever need you have, that need will be fulfilled. One person, he heard this, and he came to me about 2 weeks ago, and he explained to me, he says that he's working in Madina Munawwara, he's left now he's come back to South Africa. So he's explaining to me, he says that I had, whether it was riyals or dollars or whatever, it was kept at home, my wife had kept it somewhere. So he says that now I was going to the airport, and now she couldn't find that money. So he said, I thought of this immediately. So he says, on the way to the airport I started. He says, this 100 times Durood, 500 times La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and 100 times Durood. He says, I reached the airport, she phoned me, she says she found the money. So this, a person, he reads it, he has conviction in this. Allah Ta'ala will open his way. On this, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, a person's complete islah can be made. What effect Allah Ta'ala has kept in la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So see, this is too simple. Our Hazrat explained that we're looking for our solutions elsewhere. We're looking in the ways of the kuffar for our solution. He gives an example. He says, one man, he had a gold coin. Only one gold coin he had. That was the only thing that he owned in his life. So one day, he lived in a shack, in the what we call that tin shanty. He used to live in that, in the shack. So inside there is no lights also. Now, mashallah, everywhere there is light. So he doesn't have lights inside. So now he lost his coin. He lost the coin. So he went on the street. Now he's looking all over on the street for the coin. So one man was going past his friend. So the friend said, what's wrong? What you want? He said, oh man, I'm looking for my coin. So the friend now started helping him. He says, my only asset that I own, a gold coin. So the friend started helping. Now both of them are looking for the coin. But they can't find the coin. So after some time, the friend asked me, he said, where you lost the coin? So he said, no, I lost it inside the tin shanty, inside the shack. I said, but why are you looking for it outside? He says, no light there. Here there is light. That's why I'm looking for it here. So now he can keep looking till the cows go home. He's not going to find it there. Go and look there. Even if there's no light, move your hand on the floor. Somewhere you'll find the coin. You'll pick up the coin. That's our situation. That's exactly our situation. That solution is in deen. We're running to the psychiatrist, psychologist. We're running to this one and we're running to that one. They have implemented our way. Quran Sharif, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explains in one place, Quran says, إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا, that which is falsehood, that which is batil, that it will perish. Kuffar are all on batil. But yet you find they making taraqqi, they increasing in the world. They making advancement in the world. And we going more and more down. He says, why? There must be a reason. Quran is saying that they're supposed to perish. And yet they are going further than the Muslims. How is it possible? He says that there is something, and that is, he says that our ta'limat, our teachings, they have implemented. And our teachings, we have left. What is their ta'limat and what is their teaching? We have gone on to their teaching. So we are now going down. We are on nuzul. And they on the other side, they are on uruj. They are going up. They are progressing. Although they are on batil, because they have taken our ta'limat. So the solution to all our problems, Allah Ta'ala has kept in our deen. So many examples. Our Hazrat gives another example. He says a person, he's going in towards the desert. So he says he wants water. Now he looks in a distance. He sees like as though there is water. He can see water. He says, that's not water. That is what you call mirage. Mirage. So he walk and walk and walk. Now he came to that point where he thought there was water. No water. Now he sees ahead. No, there's water. Again he sees another mirage. He says, walk the whole desert. You're not going to find water. But what you need to do, the town is just 2 miles back. Or 1 mile back. Just take a turn. Just take a turn. Go back to the town. Open the tap. You'll get how much water you want. Exactly the same way, our success, go back to Nabi alayhi salam, go back to sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In that is our success. We going further and further, looking for success, looking for the solution to our problems, we won't find the solution to our problems. One person now, these are too simple for us. La hawla wa la quwwata, too simple for us. Because Hassan came to Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. Told Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, no rain, drought. What must we do? Istighfar, make istighfar. He went away. Another man came to Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. He told Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, no money, no job. In our terms, what you say, no employment. Unemployment rate is so high. What must I do? Hassan Basri said, istighfar, go. So that second person went. Third person came, says, no children. What must I do? Hassan Basri said, istighfar. Fourth person came. He said, my farm is not producing crops anymore. What must I do? Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi told him, istighfar. Four people came, four different problems. So one person was sitting there, asked Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, said, Hazrat, four people came with four problems. You gave them one solution. Why? Why one solution to all four problems? He says, this is the solution from Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا. Make istighfar to your Rabb. Allah is most forgiving. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. Allah will send abundance of rain upon you. So the first man said, there's drought. There's a solution. Yeah, يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. ويمددكم بأموال. Allah will increase you. Allah will help you with wealth. That you don't have money. You didn't have a job. You make istighfar, Allah will open. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make an opening for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will give him risk from where he cannot even think, where he cannot even imagine. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And Allah will increase you in your children. That person said he didn't have children. Istighfar, Allah will give you children. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah will give you gardens and Allah will give you rivers. You're saying that your your farm is not bearing crops, Allah will give you crops also. All the solution is istighfar. Today somebody comes, Murana says, make istighfar. Istighfar, who doesn't know? Everyone knows about istighfar. And all the virtues we heard about istighfar many times also now. Now give us something new to practice upon. Our Hazrat explained that people used to come to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. They used to tell Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali that Hazrat, we got this problem in the house. Husband and wife got a problem. Or some other problem we got in the house. Hazrat would say, Durood Sharif. Just read Durood Sharif. All your matters will be sorted. Our Hazrat says that in this age of mine, at this part of my life, I'm only realizing now the benefit of what Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali mentioned at that time, that read Durood Sharif. So today also somebody says, you go with a problem, Maulana says, read Durood Sharif. Now, Durood Sharif, who does know? We're reading Durood Sharif every day in namaz. But that's not solving our problem. So do these things. How we are being guided, how we are told to do these things, do it. Kitab reading, we heard. That person, children wanted to throw the father out of the house. So Hazrat Ji told him, just start kitab reading. And in 2 weeks, all his matters were sorted out. Why? The actual thing is this, that the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is gone. The rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is now moved away. When the rahmat of Allah goes, all the problems come. When you make istighfar, that rahmat will come back. When you read durood, that rahmat will come back. Where kitab reading is taking place, that rahmat of Allah Ta'ala will come back. So when Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will come, what's going to happen? Where there's darkness, now you just on the little cell phone, you press the torch on the cell phone. What happens to all the darkness? All the darkness is gone. The rahmat of Allah came, all the solution has come. All the problems will now be solved. So therefore, when our mashayikh, when they prescribe that do this, person shouldn't doubt. Just do what the mashayikh has said. The person that came to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, he said, Hazrat, my child is in Aligarh Muslim University. But he is going very, very far from deen. Most probably he was inclining towards the Hindu religion. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi said, take him out from there and put him in Banaras Hindu University. He was in Aligarh Muslim University. But when he came to Mawlana Thanvi, Hazrat said, take him out from there, put him in Banaras Hindu University. If it was me and you, what will you say? What the Hazrat is talking? He is already in the, what we say, frying pan. From the kettle into the frying pan. Or is it the other way? Frying pan into the kettle. From the frying pan into the fire. So here is from the frying pan into the fire. He took him out from there, he said, put him there. So he didn't say that. He said, Hazrat said must do this, I'm going to do it. So he took him out from Aligarh Muslim University, put him in Banaras Hindu University. In no time, everything was sorted out. So he came back to Hazrat. He said, Hazrat, I didn't understand. What you told me to do, I done. But explain to me, why is it that you gave this prescription? He said that when he was there in Aligarh Muslim University, everything was according to Sharia. Everything was done correctly, in other words. So he says, he didn't have qadr, he didn't appreciate the deen that he had. When he went into that environment, that's not for everyone, that's not the solution and the prescription for everyone. That Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi prescribed. That is why we got a problem, go to your senior. Tell the senior, I got this problem, let him tell you what to do. I'm just giving an example of what Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi prescribed and how this person acted upon. So when he went there everything was on kufr. Now he started appreciating his deen. He came back onto track. So we said, we started with saying that all these laws of Sharia, there is great wisdom in it. And that which Allah Ta'ala has made farad, most amount of goodness is in that. And that which Allah has made haram, there's most harm and most destruction in that, whether we understand it or we don't understand it. So he says, or ghaflat wali namaz. So we're saying that ghaflat, that namaz of ghaflat, there is severe warnings that have come in the Quran and Hadith. Quran and Pak me irshad hai. We finish this verse. Qad aflah al mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. حضرت ابو دردہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک مرتبہ حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے آسمان کی طرف نگاہ اٹھائی. حضرت ابو دردہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ says that on one occasion نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم he raised his gaze towards the skies اور یہ ارشاد فرمایا کہ اس وقت علم کے دنیا سے اٹھ جانے کا وقت منکشف ہوا. He said that at this time the time has come when knowledge is going to be taken away from the world. Knowledge is going to be lifted from the dunya. حضرت زیاد رضی اللہ تعالیٰ صحابی نے عرض کیا یا رسول اللہ علم ہم سے کس طرح اٹھ جائے گا. حضرت زیاد رضی اللہ تعالیٰ, this was a صحابی of نبی علیہ السلام, he said یا رسول اللہ how is knowledge going to be taken away from us, you say that the time has come knowledge is going to be taken away, how is it going to be taken away, ہم لوگ قرآن شریف پڑھتے ہیں اور اپنے اولاد کو پڑھاتے ہیں, we read Quran, we pass over, we teach Quran to our little children, وہ اسی طرح اپنے اولاد کو پڑھائیں گے, and our children they'll teach their children in return. So the silsila and the chain of now teaching Quran will remain. Deen will remain within us because we reading, we teaching our children. Our children will teach their children. How can knowledge be taken away? Or parhayenge aur silsila chalta rahega. Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne farmaya ke main to tujhe bara samajhdar khayal karta tha. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Ziyad radiyallahu ta'ala, oh Ziyad, I thought you were a very intelligent man. I thought you were a very, very intelligent man. Ye Yahud wa Nasara bhi Tawrat wa Injil parte parhate hain. These Jews, these Christians, they also read the Tawrat and the Injil. The Tawrat, the kitab given to Musa alayhi salam, the Jews also used to read it. The Injil given to Isa alayhi salam, the Christians also used to read it. Phir kya kar amad hua? What happened after that? How did it benefit them? They also went off the track. So didn't they pass their knowledge on? So in other words, that although the outward form, today what we have, we only have the outward form of deen. With the inner form of deen, the actual life of deen is hardly there. سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٍ That soon a time will come upon people. لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِسْمُهُ Nothing will remain of Islam except the name of Islam. وَلَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ Nothing will remain of the Quran except the writings of the Quran. مَسَاجِدُهُمْ عَامِرَةٌ وَهِيَ خَرَابٌ مِنَ الْهُدَى That the masjid will be full in capacity. It's coming here also. The masjid will be full. But hidayat, you won't get in the masjid. Today the outward form of deen is there. The reality, the ruh of deen, this is why we are. We are for the ruh. We came here to get life. In our namaz, we want life. In our deen, we want life. We don't want the outward form. The outward form is not enough. We want the actual essence. We want the ruh of deen. Today, qurbani that is being done. So, majority of the people, what is it? It's not that going out, buying that animal, slaughtering. That is the actual qurbani. Like how we mentioned of Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh. How Hazrat used to keep that animal 1 year. In the end, feed that animal jalebi. That became like his child, like so to say. So close to him. And then he had to put that knife on that animal. Now how hard. But for us, what is it? Just write one check. I send it to this country. One EFT. Send it to that country. And they must make qurbani in that particular country. That is not qurbani. And many a time what they advertise, the share, 200 rand, 300 rand a share. Now when they have done research, they found that impossible. Impossible for a person to buy a share in an animal for 200 rand and 300 rand. And many a times in some countries it happens, when you go to buy the animal, they show you the animal. Then they take the animal back. Next customer came, they brought the same animal, they sold it to that person also. So that is qurbani. When we give it over to organizations, we don't even know whether our qurbani is done or it is not done. And qurbani is wajib on a person. If qurbani is done, not done, he is responsible in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So a person supposed to do qurbani with his own hand, that is the reality of qurbani. When it comes to zakat, zakat, a person supposed to go himself. He says, go himself, look for the poor people. And who are the poor people? Identify them. Give them. Ni'mal amir ala babil faqir. The best wealthy person is that person that is on the door of the poor man. He goes looking for the poor man. He comes to his door, he says, this is your haq. He gives it to him. That he is doing me a favor, he is taking my zakat. Bi'tal faqir ala babil amir. The worst of the poor is that person that goes and stands at the door of the rich man. I have this need. You have Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us this begging bowl. And this begging bowl, the hand, when you make dua, we make like this, is a begging bowl. And it is attached to the body. That is why Sharia says when a person steals for 10 dirhams, how much is 10 dirhams? About 25, 30 rands. 10 dirhams, not 25. 10 dirhams, about 250 rands, the minimum mahar amount. 250 rand you steal, cut his hand. Why cut his hand? When Allah has given you the bowl to ask from Him. Directly from his khazana. You use that to go and steal. You don't deserve these hands anymore. You don't deserve these hands. The worst of the poor person is that one that goes to the door of the rich man. But go and look for these people and give the zakat yourself. Many of the poor people, those that are really genuine. You get those that out there, they're living it up. Good homes, driving good cars. What the TV, plasma screen TV they got in the house. Big one, 20,000, 10,000, whatever it's worth, I don't even know. Those big TV they got in the house. Yet they are going out to collect zakat. Those are not the recipients of zakat. Quran says that the genuine people, يَحْتَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلِ That a man that is ignorant, he doesn't know what is his position. يَحْتَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَا He'll think this man is okay, he's alright. In reality, why he thinks يَحْتَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَا مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ Because he doesn't ask anyone. Because he don't ask, he is so humble, he keeps quiet, he lives in that poverty of his. Somebody else sees him, he says, no, this person is okay. But Quran says, تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ You will recognize them by their marks. What marks, what signs? That they humbleness, they crying to Allah, oh Allah, I have this need, oh Allah. Only you can fulfill that need. Allah, you take care of my need. They ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala will take care of my need. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافَ. They don't ask people persistently. Like how when you get the biggest at the road, at the traffic light or somewhere. They don't leave you. And if you don't give them, sometimes they sway you also. So they're not like that. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافَ. They don't ask people persistently. They hide. They make dua to Allah ta'ala, remain in that condition. Those are the people who are the recipients of our zakat, whose zakat should be given to. Not those that are living it up or giving it to some organization. One brother was telling me, or somewhere I read, I can't remember now exactly what happened. He was saying a certain institute. Gee, he came to the iftar. He came there and he was explaining to me. He's telling me one organization, 90 million rand for the year came into them. He says, how many people really are helped? And many a time that money remains in their account. So if you gave your zakat for this year, and by next year Ramadan your zakat is not discharged, there's karahat in that. Person is sinful for that. Because the next Ramadan has already kicked in, and now your next zakat is due. So person just, today is easy. I don't know where to go and give it, where I'm going to go and look, just give it to that organization. Now it's lying in their account. So your zakat is not discharged. Once in the Darul Iftar we had a query. Certain institute, this was a small institute, and people had given them zakat. The zakat money went missing. So we told him the zakat is not discharged. He contact all those people whose money is discharged. They say we don't have the list. How are we going to contact them? Now your zakat is not discharged. You haven't given your zakat. It's not discharged. You're responsible in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So zakat, go yourself. Give your zakat. That is the rule. That is the reality how a person should discharge his zakat. So this is what Nabi al-Islam mentioned in this hadith. He says the deen will be taken away. The outward form is there with us. But the rule, the life of the deen, that is not with us today. Further, he says, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala ke shagir kehte hai, ke maine dusre sahabi Hazrat Ubada radiallahu an se jaakar ya kista sunaya. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, student, he says that I went and narrated this to another sahabi Hazrat Ubada radiallahu ta'ala. Inhone farmaya ke Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala sach kehte hai. This is what Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala is saying. Abu Darda is saying the truth. That this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned about knowledge being lifted up, it's going to be taken away. اور میں بتاؤں کہ سب سے پہلے کیا چیز دنیا سے اٹھے گی. So this sahabi now, حضرت عبادہ رضی اللہ عنہ, tells the student of Abu Darda, must I tell you what is going to go away first from the dunya? سب سے پہلے نماز کا خشوع اٹھ جائے گا. The first thing is that خشوع will be taken away, which we said is that inside quality, that connection with Allah Ta'ala. People will be reading namaz, inside no connection with Allah Ta'ala, his mind is everywhere else, no connection. This will be taken away. تو دیکھے گا کہ بڑی مسجد میں ایک شخص بھی خشوع سے نماز پڑھنے والا نہ ہوگا. مسجد will be full to capacity, 1,000 people, 2,000 people. Today our masjid, Juma time, how full it is. He says you won't get one person that is connected to Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because the life of that ruh has been taken out. حضرت حذیفہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ جو حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے رازدار کہلاتے ہیں. حضرت حذیفہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ, he knew the secrets of Nabi علیہ السلام, all the secrets he had. He had a list, all those people that are munafiqeen, hypocrites. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala had that list. Umar radiallahu ta'ala go and ask that, oh Huzaifa, tell me something. Is my name not there in that list? I don't want to know about the other munafiqeen. Just tell me if my name is not there. So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala knew the secrets of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Woh farmate hai, ke sab se pehle namaz ka khushu uthaya jayega. The first thing is, concentration in salah. The connection with Allah Ta'ala, that khushu will be taken out. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala say, kisi ne pucha, somebody asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala, khushu kya cheez hai? He says, what is this khushu? Farmaya, ke khushu dil mein hota hai. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, that khushu is the quality that is in the heart of a person. Khushu is in the heart of a person. This is the internal quality which we already discussed in great detail. What is khushu? So he mentioned this is the explanation of khushu. So these are many terms of Sharia that we must get the correct understanding of. Many things we must understand in Sharia. For example, somebody, we know that he is a bit of a strict person. So we say this man has got a lot of pride in him. No, being a strict person a little bit, or person, he's in charge. So that doesn't mean that a person has got pride. For example, somebody is a principal of an institute, big institute. So he has to be a person of authority. He has to be a bit thick. Otherwise, things are not going to function correctly. Person is a big businessman. He's got, for example, 50, 100 staff that are working there. And if he's going to be a humble person, what's going to happen? Everyone is going to ride him. So that does not mean that a person is a proud person because he is strict. Yes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us a dua. That is why this dua has been taught by Nabi alayhi salam. Allahumma ij'alni fi ayni taghira. وَفِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ كَبِيرًا. Allah, in my eyes, make me small. That you know that what is your reality. I am nothing. I am not capable of anything. But in the eyes of people, Allah, make me big. Why? Because if you are a person of authority, then only when people will hold you in high regard, then people are going to obey you. If a person is, somebody is a sheikh of the tasawwuf, he's got so many murids. Now he says, I am nothing. I am useless. You know, he's going to say that to his murid. So the murid say, what I came here for? Rather I go somewhere else now. He is useless, he got nothing. And that's why I came here. So I rather go somewhere else. So Ya Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us the dua, that Allah, in my eyes I am nothing. But in the eyes of people, in the eyes of the murid, you make me big. Why? So that he can take benefit from me. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah has mentioned about him, that on one occasion, one murid of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah, who was an alim also, and the thought came to his mind. He says that whenever I sit in the company of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, I consider myself to be useless. Like I am the worst. Everyone in that gathering are better than me, and I am nothing. So he said, no man, let me go to another Khalifa of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi. So he went to another Khalifa of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi to explain his problem, that he can solve my problem. So when he went there, that was perhaps a Mufti Saab. So when he went there and he explained his whole problem, that person said, the problem you talking about, I got the same problem. Whenever I sit in the company of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, I consider myself to be the worst, and everyone else is better than me. So the two of them said, let's we go to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi. That's our sheikh now, let's explain it to him. So the two of them went to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi. So when they went to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi, they explained to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says that which you experience, I experience the same thing. That when I'm sitting in my majlis, he was what a sheikh. He was Mujaddid al-Millat, Hakim al-Ummat. Yet, so many murids he had. What work he has done. Today the West says, Mawlana Thanvi was not an individual. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi was an institute. One man to write so many kitabs. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi was not an individual. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi was an institute. So much of work Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi has done. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, so he said that when I sit and I give that majlis, he says, I consider myself as the worst. And all the people that are here, that are much better than me. And every speaker, that's how he should be. When he stands to give bayan, that these people that I am addressing, they are much better than me. And I am absolutely nothing. This is how a person should speak to others. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah, he was Faruqi. He was from the family of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And as Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we know, Jalali. Anyone did something wrong, finish. That person is in trouble with Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah also, he was Faruqi. He was Jalali. Anyone came to the khanqa, you can't play around in the khanqa there. They had a strict principle. Even if you want to give a hadiah to Hazrat, they had a list that these are the conditions if you want to give me hadiah. And anyone broke the rules, it can be possible that that person would be kicked out from there. But Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah, in spite of being like this, he says that I never ever reprimand anyone that was not my murid. Somebody that was not my murid, not my follower, I never go and reprimand him and correct that person. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah would say that if I corrected anyone that was my murid, I would first address myself that this person is much better than me. I am making his islah. Allah kept me in this position, but he is much better than me. The second thing is to say that, oh Allah, you put me in this position that I must make islah of this person. But I got false. Don't hold me on the day of Qiyamah. Don't take me to hisab. Don't take me to reckoning on the day of Qiyamah. And the third thing he says that when I used to make islah, he says I used to make istighfar after that. I used to seek forgiveness that maybe I was too harsh to this person. Maybe I spoke too hardly to this person. This is how Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi would make islah of his murid. And many times he would say that when you're angry, when a person is angry, that time you can't make islah. At that time, a father can't make islah of his children also. When he's extremely angry, that time not of the children. Not the ustad of his students also. Many times it goes, because things go overboard after that. So there's limits of sharia which a person has to remain within those limits of sharia. We'll continue from this point, inshallah.